Well, would you open us in prayer, please?
Dear Father, God, thank you for trying to trust you. Thank you for doing well, Lord. Bless the well, Lord, and all has us, Lord. Lord, before all the number, everyone has covered it, everyone has us, Lord, have those blessings to give us, Lord. May we assure us and tonight be acceptable on their side, both and our hymn singing, Lord, and our attendance to the spoken word of God, Lord. Lord, give Chris the Spirit, Lord, and give him the Spirit of the Lord. Teach us new things from the book of Acts, Lord, for us to know, Lord, so we can enrich more of our lives according to thy will, Lord, and according to thy works. Lord, pray for the churches and for the congregations throughout the world that come together, both now and in the future, and have happened before, Lord. Lord, bless them, Lord, that are teach Christ and Christ crucified and our saved people, teach them to the congregations. Use this word to reach out to those that are lost, Lord, and pray for them and keep them. Pray for them, the ministries we support, Lord, pray for the Cosgraves, the Collins, the Haynes Actors, the Bissetts, the Sealys, Lord, and Bissetts, Lord, and all ones, Lord, bless them and keep them, Lord, and provide for them as well, Lord. And Lord, pray for the release of the National Open Doors, Kitcher Schools, Open Doors, Christian Institute, and all organizations that are there for the world to reach out to those that are lost, Lord, and to help people that are less well off and lost, but primarily to teach the word of God, Lord, and teach the love of Jesus Christ, saving the cost for our sins. Perform, O Lord, and provide for us gifts for Jesus Christ again. Amen.
We'll take the favorite. First one to shout a number gets it.
That's little book number two.
Number two. Number two in the black book. It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry. Bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, God keeps me from sin. And we'll take another favorite. Number four on the black book.
Aww. Turn tonight to Solomon's Song number 5. I am common to my hot garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved, the knock of saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? When beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were removed from him, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, and he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. What is my beloved more than another beloved? O thou fresh among woman, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as eyes of the doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen. Just a moment or two to remind you about our prayer list. Make sure you get one. It's a little green one and it's dated January the 31st of February. Please take February.
2 weeks.
January the 31st of February. The 7th. I'm only pulling your leg. So get... It does say January the 31st of February. Make sure you take one. This is our prayer list for the next fortnight. I have added already a few things onto it. Just some thanks that Ling brought to us, Joanne, that made it out the once before she had her baby. Her and her dad and her baby have actually managed to make it back to their homes now. They've been in Taiwan, I think, for like a fortnight or so, and they have been isolating or quarantining because they were here. And now they have been actually allowed to travel back to their house as opposed to just being in their country. So we're glad of that. Don't forget them. Please do pray for them. And do pray for our other Chinese acquaintances as well. There's Yang and Shusheng and Anna and Lena. Certainly all need to be saved. Have never made a profession of faith, but have remained always in good terms with the church, so please do pray for them as well. We had Dr. Shang with us this morning. Please do pray for her and Frank and Dr. Shang, if you would. As well as that, we do miss Esther and Pat and Steve. Pray for them as well, and don't forget to pray for each other. There's a lot of countries in the world. There's a lot of things going on in the world, and sooner or later, they are going to affect us at our front doors, are at our back doors and in our very houses. So don't be thinking that just because it's not happening to you that it's not going to happen to you. Many years ago, before the Jewish purges, the slaughter of the 6 million Jews, a lot of people thought that the things that were starting to happen weren't going to happen to them, and everybody in Germany was affected by them, some at the cost of their lives. Make sure that you are much in prayer for your country and do what you can do, and don't be expecting your country or everybody else to do for you. Make sure you do what you can. And those other brethren in Christ that there are praying and watching out for you, will help you along the way. So be much in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Taylor. Is back in the States. She is going through a massive change in her country right now. I think, was it 20 or 50,000 people lost their jobs because of a president's signature on a piece of paper, what they call an executive order to shut down work on a pipeline between Canada and America that would have brought jobs for tens of thousands of people. And now, with that man getting in, he managed to wipe out the livelihoods and the families and put a lot of people in a difficult situation in a hard time of year. So pray for America at this time. Pray for our own country. Pray for what's going on in China and Russia and in North and South Korea. Just right the way across the world. Name a country and pray for it. Pray for the leaders of it. Doesn't matter where they go. There is no bunker. There is no stretch of barbed wire. There is no piece of radar guided machine gun. There is no dog run that can keep a soul from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So pray for all of these people and don't forget each other. I really don't think there's anything else. There are still things ongoing in the church. The purchase of the land, the work on and in and around the church. Church vehicles, church people, most importantly, just pray for each other. And don't be afraid to pray for the things that you need day by day.
Mom's heart procedure is Wednesday.
Right.
She would appreciate
it. Okay. Please do pray for Monica's mom, my mother-in-law, Pat. She has to go in for, is this the stop and the start?
Yeah, some sort of shock treatment.
So please do pray for her as she gets her heart tended to, if you would. Many years ago, was it a double or triple bypass? So she's gone through a lot between that and the leg break and the stroke and various other things that have happened just this past few years. So please do pray for her. It's this Wednesday. I don't know what time, but
6 o'clock
our time, which is 1 o'clock their time. Please do remember that if you would. I think that's about that. Is there anything else that we need to be thinking about or praying about? Yes.
Gemma, my boss.
Yes. Please do pray for. What's your boss's name?
Margaret.
I know you've told me that before. As you know, that lady that Will brought to our attention a couple of weeks back was in a hospice receiving palliative care, end of life care, passed away. Was that just the start of last week or the end of the previous week?
End of the previous week.
Goodness, time flies. She passed away, so please do pray for her family. Very difficult time. And for all those that are mourning lost loved ones. I think that's about that. Anything else? Okay, let's pray and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you, Lord, for the services we had this morning and for each soul that is here this evening, for the families that are represented here. I pray you for all of those, Lord, that church doors are shut. I pray you for those souls, Lord, that are finding it difficult. And pray you, Father, please, that you would speak to them quietly. And that still small voice, saved and lost alike, Lord, about sins and about eternities, about living for you and working for you. And we include ourselves in that too, Lord. Please, please, Lord, greatly convict the leaders of the countries in the world, especially those, Lord, in America right now, and of course our own in the UK. Father, I pray that you just wouldn't let go. I know many are given over to reprobate minds, but I pray you, Lord, even now that you would speak to them and convict them of sin and judgment to come. I pray you, Lord, for those that desire to stand up and be counted, for the cause of Christ, for the cause of right, that you would give these souls everything that they need, provision and protect as they go about their your business, Lord. And Father, please, I pray, add souls to the kingdom. Pray you for the folks on the road, Lord, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Norman and Joan, for Jane and Corey, for Henry and Evelyn, Lord, for Sally, for Kate, for Pearl Hetherington, especially at this time, and for Alan Leslie, and for all of those that tune in or spin up the CD, Lord, please let this time be a help to us all. Watch over our townsmen, Lord, our countrymen. I pray you, Lord, especially for Israel, for the Jewish people. Please, Lord, save souls there too. Just thank you now, Lord, for our service. And Lord, we're mindful of those that are holding services elsewhere in the country and in the world. And we pray you, Lord, for great wisdom and boldness. And the same for Christy here this evening too. Please inspire him. Please give him the words to say, Lord. And please, Lord, be one of our number. Just speak to each one of us. Open our understanding. And help us, Lord, I pray you. Just recharge us as we look at another week. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for your long suffering with us, for everything that you've done for us, most importantly for your Son, for your Word, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, just for everything, Father. We look forward to this little bit of time we've set aside. I pray that you would work miracles in each one of our hearts and minds, even now. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, brother. It's yours again.
Take another favourite anywhere. Like, I think you had one. Norman, or the back row?
Many, many of them.
14 in the black book. And then you're 12, John? Or 11 or 12, is it?
12.
We'll do 14 first, then we'll do 12. And Monica, you can choose the closing. Let's stand as we sing How Deep the Father's Love.
Jesus Christ.
page and we're singing hymn number 12. You can be seated or remain standing, but one request I do have is that you actually sing it like you know your name is there.
My name is in the book of life, oh bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all dine and strife and read my title clear. I know, my name is there. Stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record, but by his blood the Savior crossed and placed it on his robe. I know, my name is there.
Cast a shadow o'er my title, but nigh with full salvation blessed, praise God, it's ever clear. I know, my name is there. Strive to carve a name of honor high up in heaven's book of life. My name is written there. I know, my name is there. I know, my name is written there.
Amen. You may be seated. In the closing verses in Acts 14 tonight. Acts 14, I have from verses 21 through 28, but I might just do a bit of lap over and start from 19. Yeah, we'll start from 19 and we'll read until the end. Acts 14, starting at verse 19. Our subject tonight is the Seeing It Through Church. I guess you could call this a part two to the previous study we had in Acts 14. Which was the keeping on church, or the persevering church. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attaleia. And thence sailed into Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Amen. Mark, would you lead us again in the word of prayer?
Hey, loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to come into your presence. And I just want to bring before you Christy and ourselves at this time and the folks that listen. Please inspire Christy and give him the words to speak. And Lord, please soften our hearts and let us remember that we're here to hear your word, to be corrected, to be chastened, to be redirected, to be comforted or strengthened or encouraged, Lord. But I pray that your will be done in this service. Keep Christy's mind from distraction, Lord, and please bless us now as we spend this time around your word. We love you, Lord, and thank you for all that you've done for us and for loving us. And we ask all of it, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, our previous one was the Keeping On Church, and Paul and Barnabas were at Lystra, and they were preaching. Paul seen a very real need in it. And a man who was impotent on his feet from his mother's womb, I don't know what it was, but Paul noticed something about this man, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, it says. So Paul stood up, said, "Stand upon thy feet and walk." The man leaped up and walked, and there was a great miracle. The people of Lystra then prepare sacrifices to be offered to the gods. They named Paul and Barnabas, Mercurius, and Jupiter, names of Greek gods or planets. But we get to it, and the disciples stop it. They react to this and say, "You're crazy. You need to get back to God and not worship these false gods that you have been worshiping." Then we have Jews that come down from Antioch in verse 19 in Iconium. They persuade the people. They stir them up, and then they stone Paul. Paul, they suppose he's dead. They lift him, take him out of the city, and then the disciples gather around about him, and Paul gets up, and then we move to Derbe, and here we are in our current study tonight from verse 21 onward. The Seeing It Through Church. And no one can doubt that one of the greatest Christians at Seeing It Through was Paul the Apostle. I quote you these words that he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. "I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Great mighty words. Many Christians look to those words as a source of encouragement to continue on and stay the course and just see out what it is, the plan that God has for their life. But in this passage we're going to see how the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey travelled through Salamis, Paphos, Antioch, Pisidia, Lystra and Derbe. They were all stops along the way to this point, but then he goes back through them. He travels back through them. Seeing it through means to continue in something until it's complete, even when it gets hard or unpleasant. But a derivation from that, I don't know the correct term I'm looking for, but derived from that, we often hear to see someone through. So we do something to see someone through a rough patch, a tough patch, which means to provide the means necessary for them to continue on to the end of something. In many projects, that could be extra finance to see it through until the end. It could be extra people to put more hands to the pump. In times of famine or hardship, it could be a bit of money to someone. It could be a bit of food. But there is things that Christians do and people do to see people through. And this is our topic tonight. We want to just look upon some of the things that the disciples here, Paul and Barnabas, done to see it through and what that resulted in. And let us be a seeing it through church. In our opening verse, Paul had just been stoned. They assumed him dead. They carry him out again. He rises up. And that could have been enough for Paul to quit there. For many Christians, that would have been enough. Coming that close to death for his faith could have been the point where they say, you know, this isn't worth it. Especially if you think of Job and his tribulation and troubles when his wife said, you know, just curse God and die, as you've seen him suffer through it all. If Paul had have had a family, or this was a different Christian who had a family, they would have said, you know, let's just not go on these journeys anymore. As you can imagine, no one likes to see their nearest and dearest suffer. But he didn't decide that was enough. It spurred him on, and he continued on in the work of God and proclaiming the gospel to souls. He seen the great need. He knew that he was called, that he was chosen of the grace of God, it says, and called out and given permission by the church to go for this work. So him and Barnabas continue on, and then they get to Derbe. And they're preaching the gospel at Derbe, and they're teaching many. And after their duty's done there, they start backtracking on their way to Antioch, where they had come from. But it takes a certain mindset to keep going when times are difficult. And we want to just look at some of the mindset that Paul had. So he had a returning mindset, we see in verse number 21. He didn't just go through all these cities, preach once and talk to a few people and say, I'm never going back there. And I want you to keep in mind in verse 19, he was returning through Iconium and Antioch. And that's the very places that Jews had followed him to Lystra from, to stone him and to persuade the people to stone him. So he knew that there was more of a threat returning back there. It is, and someone quoted this, it's one of the greatest discoveries of our day, that if we can change our thinking, we can change anything in the world. And the Bible backs it up in Romans 12 and verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But Paul had a consistent mind. He, in a day that's ever changing, that things are always changing, rules and regulations, times, seasons and laws are changing, a consistent mindset could be what makes the very difference. How many Christians, and we all do, we cling to the verse where it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We look for something that's consistent and will give us a bit of stability so that we know that those standards will never change, so that we can either meet it or we can get better at something to meet that standard. That the goalposts aren't going to shift and move, that we are going to be held against the standard that never changes. But Paul had a consistent mind. We as Christians need to continue in what we know to be right. And that is the word of God and what he has told us. And Paul didn't count his own life but dung for the cause of Christ and continued on in the face of being stoned. And this isn't the first instance, it might be the first, but it won't be the last. A certain pastor was once asked, how many times would you call with a person before you give up on them getting saved? He replied, it depends on which one of us die first. So there is no giving up on people. God doesn't give up on them until they breathe their last breath. It says, as eternity finds it, it'll keep you in Revelation, is what it says. Not in those exact words, but he that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. So let us not give up our hope. And let us be consistent. Let us draw a line in the sand and always meet. Don't go across that line. Step up to it. But there needs to be a standard where we're consistent. We're turning to Philippians chapter 2. Just again to look at some of the mind that was in Christ. And this was Paul to the church at Philippi. Verses 5 and we'll read through 11. It says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we can see in these verses that Jesus knew he was God. He proclaimed to be one with the Father in his words. Yet he was so humble that he became as a servant. He made himself of no reputation. He didn't want praise and glory. There was many times that he escaped through the crowd when they wanted to take him and crown him king after certain miracles. And he humbled himself, became a servant, became as one of us so that we could share his eternity with him. That's some of the mind that's in Christ. So let us not think that we're above Christ and we can have a high mind. Let us not be high-minded, thinking of ourselves something that we are not, even full in ourselves. Let us be humble as well as consistent. Paul and Barnabas decide to head back to Antioch. But there is a bit of work to do as they're heading back, and verse number 22 tells us their goal. Confirming the souls or encouraging the souls who had believed. And exhorting them to continue in the faith. Their goal was to strengthen and encourage those Christians that they had seen being converted in those cities. And they went back and done it. And Paul challenges them and said, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. He told them that there was trials, tribulations coming, and he told them to remain steadfast no matter what would happen. See, Paul wasn't just of the belief that out of mind, out of sight. He always had a vested interest in what those Christians were doing, whom he had seen converted, whom he had been a part of their salvation story. He had a vested interest of writing to those churches that he had planted and seeing how they were getting on. He wasn't a man who started the work and let it be. He started the work and done whatever else he can to help it move along. And that's what we need to be as Christians. Many Christians do need strengthening in their souls on a regular basis. When we're out in the world, we lose strength. Sometimes we lose hope. Our faith gets small with circumstances that occur and some things that come across our path. Doubts creep in our minds as the world, the flesh and the devil throw everything they have at us. And more so than that, we need exhortation and encouragement on a regular basis, almost daily. There was a time they were out at war and the enemies came in and stole their women and children. And all the soldiers turned against David. And he had to encourage himself in the Lord. We don't always depend on others for our encouragement, but it's nice to get it from time to time, but we can go ourselves to God and just encourage ourselves in the Lord, it says. But it's no small thing to walk with the Lord year after year, trial after trial, tribulation after tribulation. It takes strength, it takes encouragement, it takes consistency. It takes a bit of grit and determination as well, and Paul certainly had that. He was determined to press toward the mark of the prize that was set before him, as he said in one of the other verses, portions. But he knew that these disciples would face trials and tribulations. He already had been facing them near to the point of death. He was even the one who was making Christians face them at a time. Saul the oppressor. But Paul knew that the disciples who were made through the cities that he was traveling through would need more than just a regular visit from him. That's why he got the church, planting churches. And ordaining elders, setting in a proper structure for the oversight of the development of Christians and provisions for their growth. In verse number 23, it says, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting." I like that. They show great concern for the Christians there with their fasting, with their just giving up of food or a meal. Just praying that the Lord would protect these Christians and these churches, help them grow. But once they had done all that they could do, I like what it says. It goes on then in verse 23 and says, they commended them to the Lord. They presented them to the Lord, to whom they had believed. See, it wasn't the church of Paul and it wasn't the church of Barnabas. And there was only so many things that Paul and Barnabas could do, but the Lord, it was his church, and it was his believers. And he was the one that is able and was able to sustain and make it healthy. So they passed them over to the Lord. 24, and after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. We see them backtracking on their journey, going through every city that they had come through. And they preached the word there in Perga as well, and at Attalia, and then they sailed to Antioch. Antioch was where they were, the church that had sent them out. They had been recommended by the grace of God, and in verse 26, the last three words, which they fulfilled. What a testimony, What a tipping of the cap to the work that they had done, or work that they were called to do. We Christians should aim to have those names, those words in a sentence after our names. They fulfilled their work. They fought the good fight. They finished their course. They kept the faith. And what a joy it would be to enter heaven's gates and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You fulfilled the work that I set before you." 27, they're gathering the church together back in their home church. And we know that when missionaries visit or when souls who've been away visit, we get together and we ask them how it went, and this is such as a matter as it was. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. They give God his proper place. They didn't talk about how many meetings they had preached in or how many people they had preached to. They talked about what God had done. It wasn't a matter of how popular they had become and what they were telling others about their home church. They were just away preaching the gospel. And they didn't claim to have great power to perform all the miracles that were performed. They gave the glory to God. And they proclaimed to the Jews that the door of faith was now opened unto the Gentiles. Yeah. They saw the work through so that they could see the Gentiles through from hell to heaven. There was now a great difference to the Gentiles. Obviously the Jews hated the Gentiles, but here we have Christians who would openly reach out to the Gentiles. I just wonder if Paul and Barnabas had have quit there and then when Paul had got stoned. Who wouldn't have been seen through? Who wouldn't have received that extra bit of strength in one of these cities that they had went preaching to? Who wouldn't have received that word of exhortation to continue in the faith? And then because they had quit, how many more Christians would have quit down the line? Mm-hmm. It's unbeknownst, it's speculation, it's hypothetical, I know. But what we do has a knock-on effect on others. And what we don't do has a knock-on effect as well. You think on Joseph? You know, he's seen it the whole way through slavery, being sold from his family through jealousy. Then, rising up the second in command, looking all over what was in Potiphar's house, to then Potiphar's wife accusing him, falsely so. And then spending time in the lowest of low in a prison cell. But he's seen it through. He stayed the course. He stayed consistent down in the prison. He worked wherever he was called. And because he's seen it through until the end, he's seen his family and the country through a famine, through preparing and storing up the food for 7 years before the famine came. More importantly than Joseph, I think of Jesus. Jesus seen it through everything that man could throw at him. Everything, the worst of punishments, the beatings that they put upon him, the mocking, the scoffing, the rejection constantly even of his own close friends or followers, the betrayal, the denial, and not receiving his proper place. The nails that went into his hands, the nails that went into his feet, that spear that pierced his side, and each harsh word that was spoken when he was on the cross. He's seen it through until the end so that he could see us through to eternity's shore. Let us be a church that sees it through. Let us not be a church that starts mighty fine and on fire but lets the fire burn out. Add the coal to it today and let it burn a little bit longer. Jesus is coming soon. We're closer now than we've ever been. I can hear the rumblings of a one world currency, the system collapsing. The Bible's true that you can hear the rumblings, the foundations are being set. The scene is being set and the action's going to be called soon. Just one more mile, just one more walk, just one more step, just one more reaching out to another soul, just one more act of kindness. Just let's do it again and be a church that can see it through. Amen. Anyone got a closing hymn? Monitor. 3-2-2. I don't know if that sounds familiar. Do I? I do. Yep.
True, striving to please him.
Said, you know, you may have to fight a battle more than once to win. So just because you lost it this time doesn't mean you'll lose it again. Continue fighting, continue on. You can get a false start in a race, but you can't get a false finish. It's more important how you finish the race than how you start. Of course, a great start will give you a good chance of winning, but a great finish will give you a better chance of winning. So let us be a church that sees it through. And Will, would you close us out in prayer?
Father, thank you for the message, Lord. Stir up in our hearts, Lord Jesus, to push the boundaries toward you, Lord. And Lord, may our week be a Christ-centered week for thee, Lord. May we do everything except one last night, Lord. And thank you for the message from Christ, Lord Jesus. Use it mightily in our lives, Lord. And Lord, may we use it to talk to those who are lost, Lord, to tell them of the wondrous love of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, tears from our sins, Lord, that we, the Holy Ghost may touch their hearts and save them from the sins, and make a decision in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, bless us this night, Lord, the parts to our homes in safety, Lord, if the families couldn't make it out, Lord, and our comrades are sick or at home, Lord, through COVID-19, Lord, or whatever, Lord, pray for the people are in hospitals, Lord, pray for them as they are COVID-19 or all diseases, or or all ailments, Lord, help them, Lord, and save their lives, but primarily send the message to them, Lord, that they remember the most wondrous decision in life to ask Jesus into the heart and save them from their sins, Lord. But pray with us tonight, Lord, to pass through our home safety, Lord, and pray with us to give us wondrous love for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.